You're listening to Talking Teesdale, a regular podcast covering Barnard Castle and the surrounding villages. Brought to you in association with the Witham Community Arts Centre.
Welcome along to Talking Teesdale once again. I'm Stuart Launday.
And I'm Jane Woodward.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm a bit chilly today.
Yeah, never mind that. Never mind that. You come in here and say that you can we be quick? You can't rush the creative process.
Well, I know.
You should know by now.
I know.
We don't just throw these things together, you know.
Hours of rehearsal time.
You've got a busy night, haven't you?
I have comedy tonight.
And then Soul Junction on Saturday night.
Yes, I know.
You like a bit of soul, don't you?
Busy weekend. Yeah, I do like soul, actually. Yeah, might do a bit of dancing as well.
Bit of Motown.
You never know.
Absolutely. Well, I was talking for a future podcast. I was talking about Northern Soul Dancing, which is a whole different ball game.
Ah, yes, yes.
If you've ever seen that on the telly or on one of the
films.
Is
it a bit
films.
Like line dancing?
No, it's much more energetic.
Oh, okay.
They go on, but they carry on for hours and hours and hours doing this. I was chatting to the organiser, Craig Campbell. He'll be on the podcast either next week or the week after. So that'll be good.
Right.
But we've got plenty lined up for this week.
We do.
We've got Callie Beaton, who was delightful to talk to.
Good.
And she really was. I don't know what I was expecting when I chatted to her, but she was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And next week's show, which we'll come to in a little while, will be very good, I think.
Right.
And then I popped down the hub as well.
Uh-huh.
See what's going on down there.
Yeah.
So, and there's loads going on for you to tell me about later.
There is. Yeah, next week, with it being half term.
Yeah.
So, we've got lots of things for the kids.
Yeah. So once again, you'll have to take your sleeping bag in.
Yeah, I will.
If you want, if you want to get your head down for 40 winks, that's the only option. But in the meantime, we'd best crack on.
We had.
Hi, I'm Jim.
And I'm Sheila.
We're volunteers at the Witham.
And you're listening to Talking Teesdale with Stuart and Jane.
The fantastic lineup of autumn comedy continues in Barnard Castle next week when Callie Beaton takes to the stage at the Witham. She has a fascinating story to tell, as I found out when we spoke a couple of days ago. So I'm delighted to welcome to the podcast this week Callie Beaton. Callie, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well, thank you, Stuart. A bit windswept down here in London. I'm hoping that when I come up, the weather's going to be better. Can you arrange that for me?
Well, strangely enough, Storm Benjamin seems to have bypassed us up here. It's an absolutely glorious morning.
Well, all right. No need to show off. I've just about got my small dog, Jeff, just got blown off his feet up on Hampstead Heath just now. So I'm in the wrong bit of the country, clearly.
Well, I'd say that anyway. You need to head north.
Well, you've got a point. You have got a point.
on the podcast over the, 3 years we've been doing it, we've chatted to quite a few comedians. The one common theme that runs through is that nobody has got into the business in the same way. There isn't comedy school that you all go to and such like. And looking down your notes that I've got in front of me, it's a story of radical reinvention. I'll just leave that there and let you explain.
Ah, well, thank you for teeing that up so beautifully. Well, I guess the two things that make my particular comedy origin story unusual. One is that I got into it pretty late. So my first ever stand-up gig was not until my 40s, and I didn't give up my day job until I was 50 to do it. So I was a little bit of a late arrival compared to many. And before I got into doing stand-up, I worked in TV and film on the sort of boring business side of things, including for Comedy Central in the US. I worked for them for a long time. And I would meet the sort of people who fronted our shows and the celebrities and the A-listers at industry events and things. And I would host these events. And it was the late, great Joan Rivers, may as well get a clonking great name drop in, nice and early doors, who I worked with on several occasions. And she, of course, was a sort of feminist icon. She was doing amazing things in the 60s and 70s when I was kind of growing up. So I looked up to women like her. And we had dinner together. The last time I saw her, it was a couple of weeks before she died. And it was at that dinner that she said, I think you should do stand up. I've seen you on stage many times. I think you've got what it takes. And I said, I'm 45. I'm a single parent of two kids. One of my kids has special needs and I sit in a boardroom every day. I think it's too late. And she just looked at me and said, I'm 81, Callie. What are you waiting for? And then 2 weeks later, she died very unexpectedly from complications to surgery. And 2 weeks after that, I did my first ever stand-up gig. So, and I joke on stage that that's how tough it is as an older woman in comedy, that we have a sort of one in, one out policy. So that's my very glitzy showbiz story of how I got into it.
Marvelous stuff. Was this sort of an itch that needed to be scratched? Had the stage been calling you for quite some time, or was it literally only until you sat down with Joan Rivers and the idea that the seed was planted?
Well, it must have been whirring away. I mean, I sort of joke to people when I tell this story sometimes that perhaps she'd said it to hundreds of people throughout her career. Perhaps she just used to always say it like as a bet. And I was just the first one who was like, yeah, do you know what? I will do it. I mean, I did go to drama school, but I was very insecure and sort of, I wouldn't have been the right profession for me as a young woman. I just didn't have the resilience. You need to be quite resilient, I think, to do this. And I guess it was somewhere in me. I did lots of presenting, but corporate presenting. And I certainly had a reinvention itch to be scratched. So I tend to get quite bored quite quickly. And I was really fed up with what I was doing and I was ready to change. That was definitely the case.
Leaving Joan Rivers to one side just for a second, do you think you'd have gone down this path without sort of bumping into her, having dinner with her and chatting about this sort of thing?
I might have done. I might have done. I think, do you know what the powerful thing about that story is? And I noticed this with the show I'm doing, where even though the audience is quite diverse, we definitely have a heartland of women in their 40s and 50s, like lots of women in their 40s and 50s come. And what I am very aware of is the wisdom of wise elders in society, be it men or women. And I think we perhaps ignore older people at our peril. And if somebody at 81 who you revere for whatever reason, they don't need to be famous, you just revere them or you admire them or you respect them, if they give you advice, I would say it's pretty helpful for all of us to listen to that advice. So I think it was that somebody older than me saying, I believe in you to try something. That was probably the actual power of that conversation, as much as that it was a famous person.
Yeah. You ran the two strands of your career, if I can put it that way, alongside each other for a few years. Was the one thing in particular that made you give up the sort of the day job, if I can put it like that, to concentrate on the night job?
Yeah, I mean, it was two things really. The kind of glitzy, glossy, happy story is that I was starting to get bookings. I'd done QI by then. I was starting to get TV work, and it was starting to be really weird that I worked in TV, but I was now on TV. And my company were really good about it, but I thought, I can't, it's a bit odd that I'm working for Comedy Central, but I'm on the BBC on QI. You know, it was getting to be a tipping point, and I realised I could probably monetize the fact that I knew how to speak on corporate stages. So I was starting to think, oh, actually, this might work out financially because comedy doesn't pay brilliantly well. It was that, and it was the age I was at. So I definitely found my late 40s really hard hormonally. I had a, in keeping with many, many millions of women around the world, I was not in good shape mentally in my late 40s. Connected with hormones and all the rest of it. And I think something had to give. So I sort of tell a slightly other side of that story in the second half of my show. There's the sort of glossy, lovely, glamorous, fun story. And then there's the, oh, do you know what? Something had to give, really. Yeah, I'd been a single mum of my kids for a long time. I'd been working really hard for a long time. And I think I just got absolutely burnt out, to be honest. And something needed to change.
Was it a difficult thing to do to give up the job that you'd been very successful at for such a long time?
At the time, it felt, I think sort of necessity is the mother of reinvention, really, and it felt necessary. I just wasn't very well, really, mentally. I was really struggling and really quite unhappy. And I still was the sole breadwinner, so it wasn't, I couldn't go off and just have a hobby and hope it paid me money. I had to make a go of it. So I think I was so ready to leave by the time I left that it didn't feel a great loss. However, I did just get invited back to, I used to go to Cannes twice a year for the TV festival. I just got invited back this time. So I haven't been for 8 years. I got invited to host something there. So I was just in and out for a couple of days. And I saw so many people that I used to know in those days. And I just thought, you know what? I've got every right to be proud of that aspect of what I've done. And also I mean, I'm in touch with lots of them still. You know, friends for life were made. So I now have a real pride and fondness for what came before the comedy. And I think writing the book also helped me work some of that stuff through and get it in order in my mind before I got it on the page.
I was going to say, your book was released just this summer, wasn't it? So
Yeah, just in end of July.
you started your podcast about this 4 or 5 years ago. So
Yep.
how come the book's taken so long to come along?
It took me, I'm really glad it took me quite a long time to write the book because for all those years I kept saying to people, I'm going to write a book. And then it took me a long time to write a, you know, I wrote a 30,000 word book proposal with sample chapters. You kind of really need to do the groundwork if you're unpublished and you want to get an advance on a book. And it took as long as it took. And I'm really glad it did because the book I wrote would not have been the same book had I written it a couple of years earlier. So it sort of came out at the time when it was ready to come. I think it took a, it was a long old book pregnancy, that one, a lot more than 9 months.
And how long is this comedy thing going to go on for then? As you mentioned, you didn't start it until you'd had another complete career virtually. So you're me a youngster as far as comedy goes.
Yeah, I am still a baby. I think Jerry Seinfeld says, doesn't he, that you're as old as you are in sort of comedy is. So I'm basically a 10-year-old when it comes to comedy. Well, a nearly 11-year-old. So I'm just about to go to secondary school as a comedian. So I'm still a little babby, haven't even got any qualifications yet. I think as long as I really hope that life is short, isn't it? And you get to realize that as you go on. I say towards the end of my show, today's the youngest you'll ever be. And bearing all of that in mind, there has to be pleasure in what we do, doesn't there? But also purpose. And I think that combination. So I feel immensely privileged that this is the biggest tour I've ever done, really. I did a little bit of stuff before lockdown and then I haven't toured. So to be doing my first ever and biggest tour at 56 feels an immense privilege. And I guess I will do it as long as it still feels fun to do. But doing your own show is a joy and a lot easier than doing the circuit because the people have come to see you and they kind of are largely on board with what you might be going to want to talk about. So who knows? My dad is 82 and is still a jobbing musician. So I feel it's in the gene pool to think that 56 is pretty young.
Do you do regrets? Do you sometimes think, I wish I'd done this 30 years ago, 40 years ago?
No, I don't. I couldn't have done it. I just did not. I look at the many 20 somethings and even some teens who start out, and I look at them with their stage presence, their resilience on and off stage, the fact they've got material, they've got the confidence, or at least they know how to fake the confidence. And I was not like that. It took me until my 50s to find my voice, and so it's kind of come out of me at the right time. But I wouldn't say this is necessarily my last reinvention. There might be another to come.
I was going to say, is there anything else that you fancy doing?
Well, I do now, and this comes up in the show as well, so I don't want to spoil the surprise ending, but I do now, I've taken up the piano again after a 40-year gap. And that is a kind of meaningful, not to that it was Alistair McGowan, who another name drop, who got me into that. And he's really very fully reinvented into the space of a classical pianist. And I would not say I'm at the Alistair McGowan level, and he practices for hours a day and he's very skilled. But I definitely have rediscovered, and I'm really, you know, sort of getting bedding back into music. I'm sure I'll write another book. There's a few things bubbling away. So, yes, never say never for the next radical reinvention. I mean, I'm not too old for it, so why not?
Callie, it's been lovely chatting to you. We look forward to seeing you next week up in person at the
Yes,
Wigham.
I hope you're going to come, Stuart. We need to sort you out tickets. Here I am putting you on the spot live when you're on the podcast. You can tell me afterwards if you'd rather have all your teeth pulled out.
It sounds fascinating, actually. I'll see you on the front row.
There you go. Maybe not the front row. Could you go in the third row? Although I do always like it if I get a bloke in the front row for reasons you will see.
Oh dear, right, I'm going. Double Z will do for me then.
Thanks
Brilliant stuff. Callie, thank you very much.
for having me.
And a quick reminder that you can catch Callie Beaton on stage at the Witham next Wednesday evening. That's October the 29th. The show starts at 8 o'clock. Tickets are only available from Funny Way to Be Comedy. That's funnywaytobe.com. And I should mention that the show is suitable for ages 16 plus.
Hi, this is Louise, Queen of Social Media, and you're listening to Talking Teasdale with Stuart and Jane.
Earlier this year, we welcomed Rachel Tweddle, the former Chief Executive Officer of the TCR Hub in Barnard Castle, to the podcast as she told us about her new adventure opening a business in the centre of town. This has led to a bit of a restructure down at the TCR Hub, and it's seen two familiar faces down there, Sarah Gent and Johnny Elliott, take on the roles as joint operations managers. So I thought it was about time that I popped down there to find out how things are going.
So, all things change, but all things kind of stay the same. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I think Rach left TCR back in June, but is also continuing to advise and support on a weekly basis, despite opening her wonderful new cafe. So we're really blessed to have that ongoing support. Johnny and I have both been here. I mean, Johnny's been here
14 years now. Yeah.
And I've been here now just over five years. So we're familiar faces at the Hub, but we've both stepped up to be operations managers, joint operations managers, where we both are supporting the day-to-day running of the building, as well as making sure people can access services in the community, and also making sure we meet grant commitments that we have to deliver great things to people here in Teesdale.
So I'm guessing, Johnny, that when people come through the door, they don't really notice any difference. You know, there's a slightly different sort of setup down here, but it's kind of very much business as usual.
Yeah, and that's obviously the way we want to still keep it. There shouldn't be a change in anything operations or management-wise, because, as Sarah alluded to, we've been here, each our own amounts of time. So we try and keep things still the same as people would always see as they come through the door, and be offered the same service and offered the same friendly faces as they always have done. And I don't think anything has changed in that sense. Obviously we do miss Rachel hugely. She was a great asset to the charity, but we can step into that, and we are doing that.
Right, that's enough about behind the scenes. What's going on? What are we coming up to? We're coming up to Halloween, and then winter, and then Christmas, or Christmas, then winter.
Oh, we've got a lot going on, Stuart. So as well as the day-to-day stuff that happens at the Hub, if you haven't seen it, we have a timetable of activities you can access here every week in term time. And we actually have around 700 people through the building every week, doing anything from ballet to singing lessons to taekwondo to pottery, loads of different things to get involved with. That is our bread and butter. That is what you can expect here week by week. But as you say, Halloween is coming and things are getting spooky here at the Hub. We are delighted to be working with North Star Housing to deliver a big Halloween party on Wednesday, the 29th of October. We've done massive trails in the past. When I started here, we had a National Lottery funded project for 3 years to deliver family activities. And we did awesome trails, even if we say so ourselves. This year, we are doing a big Halloween party that is funded, and it's targeted at the people who need it. It's £2 a ticket, very reasonable, includes a buffet, lots of fun and games, and a mini outdoor trail. It's interesting times here because we have so much going on locally. There's so many things you can go and access. And we are determined here at the Hub to continue to offer people who can't afford those big expensive tickets to go and do things, determined to continue to offer them the chance to do something that's affordable, but also really, really good fun and great quality. So yeah, Halloween party. I look forward to that. My witch's hat is being dusted off. and then Christmas. Yeah, we have another grotto weekend. So on Sunday the 13th of December, we have our Christmas grotto available to book. And it is determinedly an accessible grotto. So we make sure that children with additional needs can come here and feel comfortable and not overwhelmed. At Christmas, there's so much going on, and there's all sorts of things you can go and do. And here at the Hub, we're a community centre offering a good value, kind of gentle Christmas experience that includes visiting a certain special person in a red suit. And then also getting a little gift, as well as doing some crafts and having quite a nice, gentle, relaxed time. It's always super popular, so I recommend booking as soon as possible, really.
At Christmas, we deliver special care food packages to a lot of households in the area who, again, might be struggling at that time of year. It's a time when a lot of people think there should be going all out and providing things for the children and the families and just can't and feel like it's a big, you know, drain on them. So we try and help out where we can and deliver those food packages. But we also provide Christmas dinner each year as well, which, you know, we do try and advertise. But for people who are lonely at Christmas or even part of the families who, you know, just want to come and enjoy Christmas with other people, that's something we do as well. Previously, Rachel and myself have done it in a big way. This year, Rachel is still, even though she's not part of our organisation, she's still willing and coming down and cooking on Christmas Day.
She'll always be part of our organisation in a way.
Yeah.
She's in the very bones, isn't she?
So those are the things that people might not see from the big promotional side of things, but still happen behind the scenes and is hugely important.
We're also delighted to have another music event with our young pupils. So we have teachers here at the Hub, Rosie Bradford and Tom Whittaker, who teach young people and children and adults, everyone's welcome, how to sing, play drums or play keyboards. And we've got a concert to celebrate that. And to give some of those kids the first opportunity they've ever had to perform in front of a very friendly audience. So only come if you're very friendly, by the way. But you can book tickets for that. I believe that is Friday the 6th of December, but check it out on the website and correct me if I'm wrong. But it is a really nice kind of heartwarming opportunity to see young people play and sing for the first time in public.
Johnny, I think most people associate you with sitting in a canoe on the on the lake out the back there, or swinging from high ropes. Is there still plenty of outdoor stuff to be done, despite the fact that the nights are drawing in? And
there is. So we always offer those activities over weekends and early evenings as well, because the light does tend to hamper us at this time of year. But it's something that we always provide on weekends. People can get involved in. We're working with Home Educated Children at the moment to provide that during the week as well. So they're coming down and doing it. But yeah, it's something that can be accessed at any time. Again, for low costs, all throughout the holidays. So it is something that people can come and do.
So plenty going on. Where can people find full details of all this?
Well, many places. Head to TCR Hub website, which is tcrhub.co.uk, and you will find all of the information of what's on. Just click on what's on and you can book tickets through there as well. We have a very active Facebook and Instagram page, which not only tells you what's coming up but also showcases our community work. So you will see anything on there, from making apple pies with kids at Family Social Club through to making sure people can access food in the community. We are still running the Teesdale care packages every week. So we help people access food who need it, and you can read lots about that on our Facebook page and Instagram, and you can also sign up to our newsletter. So we send out a newsletter to people about what's coming up at the Hub. We've got about 1,500 signed up, and more are very welcome. So head to the website and sign up to the newsletter and you'll get an email from us about once a fortnight, not too often, and just saying what's coming up and also our latest news and things.
Hi, I'm the one and only Josh, the man, the myth, the legend, and you are listening to Talking Teesdale with Stuart and Jane.
So Jane's arrived back in the studio to chat through a very busy week next week, starting with a screening which features probably my favourite female actor of the moment, Imelda Staunton.
Yes, and also her daughter.
Oh.
So they're playing mother and daughter. Mother and daughter playing mother and daughter.
They should be able to pull that off.
They should. They should in George Bernard Shaw's Mrs. Warren's Profession.
Not one I've heard of before.
No. And that's on Tuesday the 28th at 7 o'clock.
Very good.
It will be shown with subtitles.
Good, good, good.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting one to start the week off.
It is, yeah, and it's selling well, so get your tickets.
Excellent. And then we move on to Wednesday. We're talking railways.
We are, yes. Our half-term offering for families is railway themed, obviously in line with it being the 200th anniversary of Stockton and Darlington Railway. So we've got on Wednesday the 29th, we've got a storytelling session with Caroline Hardy, based on the book that she's written, Little Loco's Big Day. And every child that comes along will receive a free book.
Very nice.
Yep. And that's at 11 o'clock. It is free. but places must be booked because places are limited.
Right. So book.
Book.
Don't
and
just
you
rock
get a
up.
Book.
Don't rock up. Otherwise, there'll be trouble.
Yeah, there will.
And then in the evening.
In the evening, we have a spoken word event. So this is a talk by Caroline Hardy and Niall Hammond, based again on a book that they've written, The Stockton and Darlington Railway, The Railway That Got the World on Track.
Yeah. Now, if you go scroll back 2 weeks, I think, mm-hmm. possibly 3 weeks,
yeah.
You can find out all the details about this because Caroline was a guest on the podcast.
She was, yeah.
But yep. a reminder that on Wednesday, the spoken word one on Wednesday evening is 7:30.
It is, and it's upstairs in the Witham Room. We're about 3/4 sold out, so I'll get your tickets quick. They're only £5, and I think copies of the book will be sold as well.
Excellent stuff. And then we come to this week's podcast guest, Callie Beaton.
Yes.
Who was just a delight to talk to. Mm. She's coming also on Wednesday night. So if Caroline and Niall are upstairs...
She's downstairs.
Thank goodness
Callie
for that.
Callie is downstairs, yes.
It was either that or she's out the back in the garden, and it's a bit chilly for that. And because we're a family podcast,
yes,
we can't really give you the full title of her show.
No, Callie Beaton, Namaste.
Etc.
Yes.
Anyway, tickets for that, as you've already heard on the podcast, they're available through funnywaytobe.com.
Yeah, they are.
So enjoy that one.
Yes.
And then on to Thursday. Oh, my goodness.
Ah, yes. Well, now, this might be something that you'd be interested in, Stuart. Building Lego. Do you like Lego?
I was Mo Meccano.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Ah, you see, I had Lego. But I still do have Lego.
I might have told you this before, but back in the day, there was a programme on BBC Two called The Great Egg Race, which had to build a homemade vehicle to transport an egg across 25 or 30 yards. And it was a speed race as well. And we did this at school. Mm-hmm. Building vehicles out of Meccano to transport an egg down the length of the hall.
Right.
So that was, anyway, that's by the
and
by.
Did you manage to create a vehicle?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, we were pretty good engineering wise. I was wasted in local journalism. I should have been an engineer.
Oh, well, if you fancy your engineering and building skills, then you can come along. There's two opportunities for train themed Lego workshops. They're just drop in. So you don't have to book between 11 and 1 and 2 and 4 upstairs in the Witham Room. And it's Bricks McGee that are doing this. So it'll be, you can build railways, engines, anything train related.
Bricks McGee sounds like a country singer.
Maybe he's got another hobby, another job on the side or something. I don't know.
So that's Thursday.
Yes.
And then on Friday...
Ah, well, it's Halloween, but we've got the ultimate 70s show.
Get your flares out.
100% live. And the reason why it's 100% live is because it's not backing tracks. It is a live six-piece band.
Excellent.
Complete with, if you're into Doctor Who, which was obviously big in the 70s, a TARDIS and a Dalek.
Why?
That is apparently going to exterminate people in the audience.
The mind boggles. I notice on their poster, along with Slade and Sweet and Queen and the likes, they've got mud.
Yeah.
Tiger feet. I used to be able to do, if you look it up on YouTube on Top of the Pops, the dance they do to Tiger Feet. I was about 8 when it was number 1 or something like that. We all learned how to do it. And I bet if I saw it on YouTube, I could still do it.
Well, there's opportunities to get your tickets, Stuart. It's about 3/4 sold out. Tickets still available, 7:30. If you want to come dressed in a Halloween outfit, you're very, very welcome to do that.
I would have thought 70s throwback kit would have been scary enough. Get your flares out.
Yes.
Dear, oh dear. And we finish the week with more comedy.
More comedy from Hal Cruttendon.
You can dish it out, but you can't take it or something. That's the name of the show,
one. Name of the show.
So he's been around a while, this chap. He's a familiar face.
He is. He's been before to the Witham.
Absolutely. Sure of a good show.
Yes, definitely.
And that's it. Where can we get details of all this lot from?
By going online.
To?
www.thewitham.org.uk.
And we can contact the box office on?
01833 631107.
Brilliant stuff. I'll see you same time next week.
You will indeed.
I'll have to give you a shove to wake you up.
Just
give you a nudge. That's why I keep the studio so cold.
I see. So that I'm alert all the time.
Absolutely. So you don't nod off.
Yeah.
Anyway,
all right then.
Have a good week.
And you.
See you next
Bye.
Time.
Bye.
And that's it from Jane and I this week. Do hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back with Talking Teasdale same time next week. In the meantime, we'll say cheerio.
Thanks for listening. We'll be talking Teasdale again soon. In the meantime, please spread the word. Like, share and subscribe. Or go online to thewitham.org.uk.